Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. It's the chapter that we often call the heroes of faith. And we're going to, since we're focusing on the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness, we're going to explore in particular how this writer to the Hebrews explains faith and faithfulness to his readers. Now, the writer of the Hebrews is probably writing to Jewish Christians, and they're trying to understand how following Jesus fits with their Bible, the Old Testament, and all of the different things that God called them to do and to be in the Old Testament. And so the author of Hebrews is actually, some people think it's probably right. It's a series of five different sermons on different Old Testament texts, in essence, where he's kind of just explaining how these things now work out in the connection with Jesus Christ. They're the Messiah that they finally found as they were looking for. And one of the things he has to deal with is the whole issue of faith and righteousness and how they work together. How do faith and righteousness work together? And one of the texts that he decides to focus on is a text from the book of Habakkuk, and it's found in actually in chapter 10, verse 38 of Hebrews, just above where we are going to start, where he says, "My righteous one will live by his faith." Now, we might be familiar with that as the theme verse of the book of Romans. Romans 1:17 talks about the righteous living by faith, and this is something that Paul had to deal with, especially with Jews coming into the church and thinking that the Gentiles had to almost become Jewish in order to be Christian. And he stresses, no, we come by faith. Our righteousness is granted to us, and we accept it by faith. And so the author of Hebrews is also kind of dealing with that. And so he moves us into chapter 11 and talks about faith. And as he does, he first gives us a definition. A definition. He says in verse 1, Hebrews 11, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Just a note on that, the Jewish culture and mindset versus the Greek or Western mindset. In the West, we like concepts, and we can deal with concepts. But the Jews like concrete things, concrete images. And so the Old Testament is very concrete in the way it talks. So it's almost like the author of Hebrews first writes to us Greek thinkers, "Now faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And then for the Eastern thinkers, the Jewish thinkers, he says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And then he goes on to describe a whole bunch of examples. And that's a very Jewish way of thinking. And so we're going to now move on as he has all of these different examples of faith. And we're going to focus our attention on the one he spends the most time with, which is Abraham. So we move to chapter 11, verse 8. And we'll read through verse 19. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. We'll conclude there. We're going to be working our way through some of those passages if you want to keep your Bibles open. But let's open with a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, as you inspired the author to the Hebrews to write these words, to bring out these examples, we pray that now you would inspire this word to us, that we might understand what we need to learn from the life of Abraham and from your scriptures. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've been looking through the fruit of the Spirit, the next fruit of the Spirit is represented by the Greek word pistis. So I'm going to give you a little Greek and Hebrew lesson today. The Greek word pistis is often translated as faith, by which we mean belief in something. But it can also be translated faithfulness, that is, being worthy of faith. And that might just be the best translation, although they're obviously interrelated. You have to have faith in order to be faithful. But as we'll see in a moment, this Greek word reflects well the Hebrew word for faithfulness as well. But when the Apostle Paul was writing to the troublesome church in Galatia, he found himself wrestling with this attitude of works righteousness. Works righteousness. That one is focused on doing works in order to become righteous. And so as part of his teaching, trying to stress, no, it's by faith that we receive a connection with God. It's by faith that we receive our righteousness, which is only done for us in Jesus Christ. He uses the Old Testament example of Abraham. And in Galatians 3, verse 6, he wrote, "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." He's actually quoting from Genesis 15, verse 6, when he talks about Abraham. But not only does Paul find in Abraham the exemplary of faith and faithfulness, but you'll see that the author of Hebrews gives the most ink to Abraham when he writes about the so-called heroes of faith, those whose examples we can learn from. So what can we learn from Abraham about the fruit of faithfulness? Our father Abraham is terminology found frequently in Jewish and rabbinic literature. It's interesting, however, it never appears in the Old Testament, but it does in the New Testament many, many times. And that shouldn't surprise us because the Old Testament was the Bible of Jesus and the first Christians. And many of the Old Testament characters serve as examples of godly living. But if one man stood head and shoulders above all the others, it was Abraham. Abraham, our father Abraham, was actually considered the father of three major religions: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Abraham is esteemed for many virtues, but above all else, it seems he is venerated for his faith. And in that way, he's the very embodiment of Habakkuk's famous declaration, echoed in Romans as the theme verse of Romans, also echoed here in chapter 10, verse 38, "The righteous shall live by his faith." So when Paul wants to point out the exemplar of faith, he tells the Galatians to consider Abraham. But maybe you're thinking, what does faith have to do with faithfulness, which is the seventh fruit of the Spirit? What does faith have to do with faithfulness? And to see this, we need to also consider Abraham, particularly from a Hebraic point of view. In that verse that Paul quotes from Genesis 15, verse 6, the key word is emunah. It's the word, the Hebrew word for faith, emunat. Actually, it's actually probably a word you use in various forms every day. It's where we get the word amen from. So be it. But it really means closing our prayers with absolute faith and trust in God. But as we usually translate that word, emunah, as believe, the word actually has a different emphasis in Hebrew than we tend to hear. In English and Greek, generally we see the meaning as assenting to a factual statement, agreeing with certain truth of certain ideas. I believe that that's true. Like when we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe, we are saying we take that by faith. But the word emunah, while it means to have faith in that sense, also has a broader meaning, which has implications for the fruit of the Spirit, for what God calls us to be as people of faith. It contains the idea of steadfastness or persistence. You may recall the story in Exodus 17. Israel is in the middle of a battle, and Moses has his hands raised, right? And along the way, he actually had to have a couple of guys come by and help him keep his hands raised. As long as he had his hands raised, Israel was winning the battle. Well, it's interesting what the scripture says about his hands. It says his hands remain steady. That's usually the way we translate it. But it's the word emunah. His hands remained faithful. Faithful. In this sense, faithful, emunah means steadfast. God is also described with the word emunah in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful, emunah, God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his command. So, just with a quick look at some Old Testament verses, we see that it's not just intellectual assent, it's faithfulness. It's putting our faith into action. So to talk about Abraham's emunah tells us that Abraham, one, believed God's promises, but two, had a persistent commitment to God that showed itself in his faithful life. In other words, faith as far as belief, but also faith put into action. And this has implications about what it means to be a Christian, and particularly for the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. Faith/faithfulness is not just about believing something intellectually. James tells us that Satan even believes that Jesus died for the sins of people, and Satan even believes that Jesus is God in the flesh. And yet that doesn't redeem him or make him righteous. While Satan may have right beliefs, you cannot say he has emunah, a committed faithfulness to the Lord. Elsewhere it talks about the demons even believe who Jesus was and shuddered. Faithfulness, faith goes beyond just mere intellectual assent. So what God asks for goes beyond an academic decision to believe a certain set of facts are true. He wants faith in his promises that brings about a steadfast faithfulness in him. And of the people in the Bible, I think Abraham, maybe overall, exemplifies this kind of emunah. So let's look at that as the author of Hebrews takes us through parts of his life. First of all, in verses 8 through 10, we read about Abraham's covenant calling. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now the author of the Hebrews, in his chapter on the heroes of faith and faithfulness, leads us through Abraham's life. His faith and faithfulness began when he was age 75, And God called him to lech lecha, to walk, or to walk, or in other words, in his daily journey, in his journey through life, he was to walk with God. He was to be hand in hand with God. This began a journey on a promise with God really as his only GPS that would take Abraham through as many ups and downs as the geography he journeyed through. God promised him a large family that would bless the entire world. That's the heart of the covenant, Genesis 12, 1-3. But that's a tall order to have a huge family to bless the whole world when you're a childless 75-year-old with a barren wife. But Abraham showed his faithfulness in God by continuing to walk with God through Canaan, where he erected altars to claim the land for God, and then to Egypt because of the famine. His faithfulness expressed itself in his dealings with his nephew Lot, by both in giving him a choice farmland, but then also rescuing him when it became a war zone. He entered by faithfulness into God's covenant in blood. And while it was God's blood in Genesis 15 and the blood path that would ensure the covenant, it was Abraham's blood through circumcision in chapter 17 that received the covenant by faith. Faith then is not merely intellectually assenting to something, it's faith put into action. And we see that. Abraham didn't just say, okay, God, I believe in you. He journeyed with God on that promise to a land that he didn't know anything about. He goes on in verses 11 and 12 to talk about Abraham in connection with the child of the covenant. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Notice that. Abraham's faithfulness is a result of God's faithfulness. By faith, Abraham was able to live this way because he considered God faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. The covenant. But what good is a covenant if you have no one to pass it on to? No descendants. Abraham asked that question at one point. He says, is my servant Eliezer going to be the one that's going to inherit all of this? And here we see that Abraham, the faithful Abraham, was also human. And that's really good news for us who are aspiring to faithfulness, who are aspiring to live out the fruit of the Spirit, to know that these characters in the Bible that exemplify it were also human. Abraham was very human in his attempts to actually fulfill or at least maintain the covenant by himself. He said, well, God, if you're not going to take care of this, and I'm almost 100 years old and it doesn't look like much is moving here, if you're not going to take care of this, I'm going to. Twice he passes off Sarah as his sister to save his own hide. And then, despairing that he's only getting older and Sarah's showed no fertility, he takes matters into his own hands with Hagar, the servant of Sarah. And Ishmael is born, and he asks God, can this be my covenant son? To which God says, no. But remember, this is the exemplar of faith and faithfulness in the Bible, which reminds us that we're called to be faithful, but we're not expected to be perfect. But God's covenant plans are bigger than what Father Abraham can bring about in his own strength. Despite these lapses in faithfulness, Abraham at one point is given an outlandish promise that he and Sarah, ages 100 and 90 respectively, are going to be parents. shopping for Pampers and Depends on the same trip. And even though they laugh at the ridiculousness of it all, they faithfully accept and live out the covenant promise. And their faithfulness is rewarded with laughter. The laughter of joy at the birth of Isaac, who they appropriately name, He Laughs. The child in whom the covenant will be continued. Good news, it all works out. They live happily ever after. Well, hold on just a moment. We read in verses 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So Abraham has his covenant child. And in a rather sad episode, but also one that shows his covenant faithfulness, Abraham sends away Hagar and Ishmael, putting all his eggs into one basket. No longer is Ishmael going to be the backup covenant child. It's all Isaac, all or nothing. And of course, that sending them away was actually commanded by God. But what will happen now when the only covenant child, Isaac, is threatened? For reasons beyond our understanding, God decides to put the exemplar of faithfulness to one more test. It's the ultimate test of faith. Will Abraham's faith in the covenant God express itself in an action that made no earthly sense? Up to this point, God had not given any indication that he was like the gods of Canaan who demanded child sacrifice. God had given no indication of that. And this was the very person, Isaac, through whom God's covenant rested, on whom God's covenant rested. Not only is Abraham wrestling with all his fatherly protective instincts, but he is also struggling with what kind of God is he following here? Who asks this sort of thing? But also at stake is the very truthfulness and faithfulness of God. Will God be true and faithful to his promises? Well, the author of Hebrews suggests in his kind of midrash or sermon on Genesis 22 that Abraham was relying on God's ability to raise the dead. Again, that wasn't a concept that ever really came up until later times, the prophets and the intertestamental times. Ultimately, Abraham had no real reason or understanding at all of how this could come about, and yet he chose to be faithful. Again, faith showing itself in faithfulness. And you know, sometimes life will test us in that way as well, calling us to be faithful. And when faithfulness goes beyond all human understanding and willpower. And that reminds us that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Simply because there is no way we could live it out unless the Holy Spirit has taken over our lives. True faith always expresses itself in action, faithfulness. And faithfulness can only be produced in one indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives more and more so that we might be able to be faithful as God was faithful to us. Let's pray. Father God, Father of Abraham, Father of Isaac, ultimately the one in whom the covenant is ratified and renewed through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your faithfulness, even at times it seemed to make no sense. And now we pray that you would help us to be open to the Holy Spirit's work so that he might create in us that faith and faithfulness as a response to what you have done for us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.